Just pray with me as we open our heart to God's word tonight. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your presence and to hear your word. Father, I pray that you'd speak into our hearts and lives. You know what each one needs, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would just minister to each one. Father, I just yield myself to you as your vessel and servant and ask that you use me. And Father, may we just be strengthened tonight and encouraged, Lord, to do all that you've given us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Susie called a friend and asked how she was feeling. She said, "Terrible. I'm worn out. My head's splitting, my back and legs are killing me. The house is a mess. The kids are driving me crazy." And Susie, full of compassion, said, "Listen, you go lie down. I'll come over right now and cook lunch for you and clean up the house and take care of the children while you get some rest. By the way, how is Sam?" "Sam? Who's Sam?" Susie said, "Oh no, I must have dialed the wrong number." She then hears on the other end of the line, "Are you still coming over?" All of us get weary from time to time in our day-to-day living, just working to take care of our daily responsibilities, and especially many times in our work for the Lord. We can grow tired of giving, tired of doing, tired of serving. Sometimes people lose the joy of serving. In fact, it seems to be one of the big things in our society right now is that people are tired. They got too much to do, and they're always busy and always tired. Well, I'm glad the word of the Lord has something to say about that. We're going to go to Galatians 6, 9 and 10 and start there, and I'm reading from the NIV. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good." Well, first of all, let me just stop right here and say, I hope that everybody, everywhere, at all times, gets weary in doing bad. But you know what? The truth is that a lot of the time, people are worn out because they're not doing what they need to be doing. Or they're doing all kinds of things that they shouldn't be doing. But we're not to be weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I talked about this passage about 6 months ago. We talked about sowing and reaping. But it's so powerful where he talks about how that we will reap a harvest at the proper time if we don't get weary. We need to remember there is a harvest that's coming. You know, this passage here is not just talking about being physically tired, but much more so it's talking about being weary in our soul. It's speaking about being discouraged. And we talked about that Sunday morning, how important it is that we encourage one another in the Lord. But it can happen to any of us. We all have the opportunity to get weary. Sometimes we work, we serve, we pray, we love, we reach out, and there's maybe no visible results at the moment. You know, we live in this real result-oriented society where everything is about, well, it's show me the money. You know, our success is based on what we see in our culture. And one of the things that I like about physical labor is many times you can see the results of your labor immediately. I like to split wood. I can see the rack of wood when I'm done. I like to do the yard and then walk out and to the street and look at the yard and see what I've done. I like painting a room and how it changes the room. And in just an hour, you can look back and go, well, look, I accomplished something. You know, one of the reasons I like that so much is because a lot of the time in the work of the Lord and in ministry, you don't see things in an hour. You don't see things many times in a day, sometimes not even in a week or a month. A lot of the time, you see, our efforts for the Lord, it's down the road. The harvest is coming, but there's the opportunity to get weary while you're waiting for that change to come, for that harvest to come in. You know, as a parent or a husband or wife, in our work for the Lord, I'm just telling you, we have to be patient. In verse 9, he said, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And you know, this is the way the harvest is. You work and then you wait. Now, not many of us in here are farmers probably, but we can understand this, that you put the seed in the ground and then it's going to be a little while. Have you ever done that with a little kid where you put a seed, a flower seed in a little cup and you tell them, now a flower's going to grow up out of there? And invariably that little kid will come back the next day and say, there's nothing happening. But you know, that's the way we are a lot of the time in our sowing. We just, you know, we want to see it right now. We got to remember that the harvest takes time. We sow just a little bit, and we want to see it almost immediately. And sometimes a spiritual harvest takes a long time. You know, the Lord just doesn't always operate on our timetable. A lot of things in the secular world, you measure success in very obvious and tangible ways. But as we serve the Lord, a lot of times those spiritual things that happen are not even something that's just seen on the outside, because it's something that's happening on the inside. We won't see the full benefit of our labors until we get to heaven. And then it's all going to be so obvious. But because of that, because we don't see it right here, right now, and on our timetable, sometimes we get weary. A lot of people try to serve the Lord. They try to obey God in a particular area. They try to do what they're supposed to do. They try it for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and then they think, well, this isn't working for me, because they didn't see some result in their life, and it can be discouraging. Another reason people get weary and discouraged is because of criticism. It doesn't matter what you do, somebody's not going to like it. Somebody is going to manage to find fault with it. And when you're really giving your best and doing what you know to do, criticism can be so discouraging. In ministry, there's always different opinions about how everything is supposed to be done. It's really enlightening sometimes to have been a part of several churches over the years, because it's really strange how one church will think, well, this is the way you do this, and they think everybody does it that way. And sometimes I've been in that situation where I was just like, no, you're the only church in the whole world that does it this way. But my point is that it's easy for people to criticize the way somebody else is doing ministry, or the way some other ministry is carrying out what God has given them to do. I like this story about D.L. Moody. You know, he is one of the greatest evangelist, preachers, soul winners of his time. A woman came to him one day and she criticized his method of soul winning. And he said, well, you know, I'm not really that fond of it either. He said, how do you do it? She said, I don't. He said, well, I like the way I do it better than the way you don't do it. But you know, I found that to be the case so often, is that those that are the most critical are not doers. They're just fault finders. They're not busy working. In fact, people that are busy working aren't usually, I want to say jaw-jacking, but they're not usually flapping. They're not usually criticizing other people because they're busy doing what they're supposed to be doing. But when somebody's not working for the Lord, man, they have all kinds of time on their hands to pick apart people that are. And I know, you know, most of the time they think that that is their work. But it's discouraging, and it can make you feel weary when you're criticized. But I've seen over and over those that are really involved in criticizing others. Well, they're kind of like Pharisees, but listen to this from 2 Thessalonians 3:11 through 13. It says, we hear that some among you are idle. They're not busy, they're busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. The New King James says, never grow weary of doing what is right. So there's always going to be people. Listen, if you're doing anything for the Lord, I'm talking about even raising your kids to serve God. You're doing anything for the Lord. There's always going to be somebody that's going to try to drive from the back seat. Always going to be somebody that is a better coach from the stands. But just remember this. If you get weary and you quit doing what you're doing, you'll become one of them. So keep working. Keep doing good. Stay focused on what you've been given to do. You know, the story of Nehemiah is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And it's so interesting how that Nehemiah has this vision to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful task God has given him, that the walls would be restored and the city then could begin to heal and be made whole again. And yet when he gets there, there's so much opposition. And the opposition is not from some foreign power, but it is from some of his own people who have set themselves against restoring the city. And it is so bad that they end up having to have half of the people standing by with a sword while half of the people work. And you know what? There's a takeaway for us in that tonight. And that is this, that we need to defend one another. When somebody's working for the Lord, we need to stand by those people. It's too easy for somebody to step in and criticize and say, well, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? That's not the way I would do it. That's not the way they did it at my last church. We need to stand by those people and protect them because they're doing the work of the Lord. And if we don't, I tell you, it ends up where not anybody wants to work. Those people need to know they're appreciated and somebody's defending them. Nobody, and I'll just tell you as pastor, nobody better attack those people than me. I'm going to defend those people. I appreciate everybody that's working and serving the Lord. Y'all kind of quiet, but we'll do that, amen? Half of us are working. No, we're all working. But the takeaway here is that we defend each other. We don't let somebody come in and attack. 1923, Russian-born engineer Vladimir Zworykin worked on his latest invention, and he was told, spend your time on something more useful. But Zworykin didn't, and in 1929, he obtained his first patent for his invention. It's a color television set. Pretty big deal, huh? I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of people that think life wouldn't be worth living if it, anyway. But among his many other achievements, Zworykin helped perfect the electron microscope and other devices that really enhanced medical and biological research, and he retired as director of electronic research for RCA in 1954. In 1966, he was awarded the National Medal of Science, but here's the strange thing. All through his career, people criticized him. Strange how people do that. Why don't you do something worthwhile? I remember when I was young and a youth pastor and hadn't been in ministry long, I remember somebody that I had a lot of respect for. They said to me one day, they said, you let me know if you're ever ready to get a real job. I'm just telling you, criticism comes. And you know what? Sometimes you can learn from criticism. Sometimes there may be some, well, something constructive in it, something that you can accept and learn from. But oh, don't let it discourage you. Don't allow it to slow you down or make you weary. Don't let it weigh on you. See, Jesus said, you're the light of the world, right? Well, you know, wherever there's a light in a dark place, there's going to be bugs. Just saying. And if you're doing anything for Jesus, if you're shining for Jesus, there's going to be some bugs. There's going to be some criticism. Another way that we can become discouraged is by looking at the laziness of others. So here we go. They say the population of our country is 327 million. 60 million are over the age of 65, at least 267 million to do the work, and there's 90 million who are under the age of 18. That leaves 177 million to do the work. There's 50 million people who work for the federal government, which leaves 127 million to do the work. Deduct 27 more million for those who work for state, county, and city offices, leaving 100 million to do the work. There's 10 million that are sick or disabled in some way, leaving 60 million. And then there's 5 million in jail, leaving 85 million. 10 million unemployed, leaving 75 million. 20 million are going to college, leaving 50 million to do the work. Then there's 15 million stay-at-home moms, leaving 40 million to do the work. Then there's about 39,999,998 people that are lost in the system somewhere. So that just leaves me and you, and I'm tired of doing everything. In case you're wondering, no, some of those figures were not accurate. But you know, that's the way it feels like sometimes. It's, you know, whether you're talking about ministry or otherwise, sometimes we feel like we're working and we're doing this and I'm doing all I can do and these other people aren't doing nothing. And you know what? Sometimes in church it feels that way because, well, there's always the 80-20 principle. They always talk about that, that there's 20% of the people that do 80% of the work, and the other 80% do 20% of the work. And you know what? That can be discouraging to that 20% that are doing 80% of the work. It can help you get down that path towards being weary. So how do you overcome weariness? First, start with a commitment to serve the Lord. And talking about being a disciple, Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, 28 through 30, he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower, will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. In other words, we got to have the commitment to see it through. If it's worth doing, It's worth being committed to finishing. And whatever we do for God, we should do until we're done. Until we know that we finished our assignment. Until we know we finished our task. We need to have this mindset that I'm in it to finish. You sit down, you count the cost, you say, I'm going to do my job. I'm going to do what God has given me to do. And here's why this is so important. If quitting is an option, it's easy to get there. And so part of overcoming weariness is being committed. It's deciding from the beginning that you're going to do what God has given you to do, and you're not going to give up. Second, we talked about this last week. You got to trust God. Because if you know that God is going to bring the harvest, and if you know by faith that what you're doing is making a difference, oh, then you can keep going. There's nothing more discouraging than feeling like what you do doesn't matter or not knowing that there's a harvest coming. But if you trust God, take Him at His word, just as a matter of simple faith, then you can keep from becoming weary. Let me just give you a couple examples. The Bible gives us this promise: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want to tell you, parenting is one of the greatest challenges of life. And you can get weary trying to raise godly children. But if you'll take that promise to heart, don't give up on that promise. Keep loving. Keep training. Keep praying. Keep believing. See, don't grow weary because you're trusting God. Here's another one, Malachi 3 and 10. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it. He says, test me in this, try me in this. And you know, He's not saying, hey, you guys try this for a week. Y'all try this for a month. You see, a lot of times people go through the motions. You know, they put in the money. Well, we'll just see what's going to happen. We'll just see what happens. Listen, it's proving God. It's coming to that place where you trust Him. See, I'm telling you, a lot of people try tithing and quit. But if you really trust God and you really believe Him that there is a harvest coming, that's different. It's a matter of trust. You got to believe that the harvest is coming or you get weary. And it doesn't matter in what area of life and obedience you're talking about or what kind of service you're talking about. If you don't trust God, you're going to get weary because there's going to be that trying of your faith. Third, how do you overcome weariness? You got to encourage one another. And of course, we talked about this Sunday morning, but it's so powerful. It's so important. I'm not going to take a long time here, but I want to read those verses to you again from Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. He says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, we get all that discouragement. We get all that criticism. So we need to encourage one another. And here, I'm gonna turn this around this time. You see, you need to encourage people, but you also need to hang out with some people that will encourage you. Sometimes we all need that. And so I just want to say, yes, you need to be an encourager. And especially if you're around a bunch of people that are negative and unbelieving, yes, you're going to have to be the encourager. But you also need to have some time where you get built up. You'll get weary in well-doing if all you get is criticism and discouragement, people being negative. You know, you need to be around some people sometimes yourself, where you can get built up. So don't spend all your time with negative people. You know, I got to throw this in. You know, if your spouse is one of those negative people, don't tell them that Pastor Mark said you need some time alone. That's not what I said. You know, you're going to have to be the encourager then. But I'm just saying that as much as you can and you choose who you hang out with and spend time with, you do need some time with some positive people. Remember what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Now, we like to throw this one at teenagers, but believe me, it works for adults too. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And you hanging out with the wrong people, I'm talking about negative people, discouraging people all the time, it will bring you down until you get to the place where you just want to give up. You don't feel like trying. Some people think that, you know, you can get to that place where you think you're so strong, and it's, listen, that's pride. If you think that you can just always handle it, you're wrong. No, sometimes you need to be around some people that will encourage you. You know, you read the Old Testament, and so many of the prophets were constantly bombarded with criticism and opposition. And you realize that a lot of them at one point or another got so discouraged, some of them even said, I want to die. Everybody needs encouragement sometimes. So no matter how spiritual you are, got to get this one in. The Bible says, if any man thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he falls. So don't think that you're above that. No, we can all grow weary, and so we need to be around some people sometimes that will encourage us, encourage one another. You can also encourage yourself in the Lord. Remember the story about David, when David and his men returned to their homes, and their homes had been burned, and their wives and children were taken. But it says that David was greatly distressed because the people were talking about stoning him. Well, that can make you weary. Because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It's 1 Samuel 30:6 in the King James Version. How do you encourage yourself in the Lord? First of all, you remember all of the past victories. You remember all the times that God came through for you. You know, when you start feeling weary, you can encourage yourself because you know that God is faithful. He did it before. He'll do it again. Listen, when nobody else is giving you a positive word, an encouraging word, a faith-filled word, I want to tell you where you can always get one. Right here. You can encourage yourself in the Lord with the Word of God. I'm telling you, there's a promise for every problem, and whatever you're going through, there is a word that will strengthen you and encourage you. So encourage yourself in the Lord. Stir yourself up. And one of the best ways is with the Word of God. Fourth, how do you overcome weariness? You look to Jesus. Hebrews 12:1-3, starting in the middle of that first verse, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, in our Christian walk, we all encounter all kinds of hardship and difficulty. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, the one who endured such opposition, far more than what we face, you see, he overcame, and so can we. We run the race that's set before us. And we know that if we don't grow weary, then like the Lord Jesus, we'll reach that joy set before us. Jesus never gave up. He was looking towards that joy set before him. And that's what we have to do. Keep your eyes on the harvest, on the finish line. You know, when you get in the trenches sometimes and things are difficult, I'm telling you, you got to get your eyes back on the prize, realizing that that day is coming, that breakthrough, that harvest, it's coming. You just got to keep looking to Jesus, and he will give you the strength that you need. Fifth, to overcome weariness is spend time with the Lord. Love these verses. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Oh, if we just spend time with the Lord, he can refresh us. Acts 3:19 says the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. And I'm just telling you, the Lord can strengthen you. He says it over and over in this passage of Scripture that he gives strength to the weary. You won't grow weary, he says. Run and not be weary. That strength has to come from the Lord. And whenever you reach the end of your strength, remember what the Apostle Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Also, remember the story of Mary and Martha when they had Jesus come to dinner? And the Bible says that Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. Martha got all upset. She wanted her sister to help her. And Jesus says to Martha, he says, Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. And I want to tell you something. People get weary because they're troubled about many things. You know what the answer is? Sometimes they need to stop long enough to sit at the feet of Jesus. You see, if you're trying to carry the whole world, and let me tell you something, some really good people, good-hearted people, they try it. They're trying to carry too much. And I'm not talking about shirking responsibility. I want you to understand. They're taking too much upon themselves. You try to carry the weight of the world, you're going to get weary. You need to realize there's some things that you can't carry, and he can. And so Jesus invites us, Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He offers us rest. We can take our burdens to the Lord in prayer. Come to Jesus. The burdens are lifted in prayer. He says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I'm not going to take a long time here, but I want you to understand. He's saying that we just are supposed to do what he gives us to do. And you let him take care of the rest. Let me put it another way. Paul said, we plant and we water. One plants and one waters. It's God that gives the increase. You see, we're talking about doing good, not be weary in doing good because there's a harvest coming. See, we plant, we water, but a lot of people are trying to make the harvest come. No, you plant, you water. Isn't it amazing how you stick that seed in the ground and you water it and the sun shines and out comes this plant and you get vegetables off this plant. Isn't it amazing how that happens? I mean, it's really a miracle the way God designed it. And I'm just telling you, spiritual harvest is the same way. You can't make that plant. You plant and you water, but you can't make it do anything. God is the one who designed them and made them that way. And He's the one that makes the harvest for our efforts and our labors. He's the one. He's the one that gives the increase. And so, you see, we need to turn over the burden of the results to Him. Our job is just to do what He gives us to do. And we let Him do the heavy lifting. We let Him do the miraculous part. So I want to encourage you tonight. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And when you grow weary, just remember, the greater one lives inside of you. Get yourself around some believing people. Let somebody lift you up. If you need to, you tell somebody, hey, I'm kind of down. Can you help me? Can you pray for me and encourage me? Get with some brothers and sisters. But don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't give up, because your harvest is coming. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'm going to let you go. Father, I just thank you for these that are so faithful to come out and to worship tonight and to hear your word. Father, I just pray that you would bless them with strength tonight. I pray, Father, that they would just be strengthened in the inner man. And Father, that they would go home refreshed tonight. I pray, Lord, that their sleep would be sweet and they'd just have peace tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, as they rest in you, Father, I just pray that their strength be restored tonight. And Father, just bless them. Bless their work. Bless their efforts, Lord. Give the increase, Father. We ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, bless you.